3, 2, 1. We're live.
We are live. Strap in. Put your seatbelt on. You are on the Mr. National Podcast roller coaster, baby. And it don't go down. We are just going up, up, up. Styling and profiling. Limousine. Whatever Ric Flair say. I ain't going to go into it. P-Double. What it look like, baby?
Hey, we're on. We are on. We're live.
I say strap that seatbelt on. You ever drive by somebody like they're going so slow? They're going slow, and then finally you get on the side of them, and then you speed up. You always looking over your shoulder like, what are they doing? Who is it? Who is it? And you get up to them, it's a little old person or somebody. Why people drive with the steering wheel right up in their chest? I don't get that thing. I mean, they straight up. The chair is straight up. There's no lean on it. The steering wheel is right up to their chest.
Is this what you're going to be mad about this week?
This is a little bit of the rant. That's how. This is probably how that person drove that parked behind me at the bowling alley the other night, and I couldn't get out.
No way.
Somebody parked in a spot. This is my rant. People, it's not just bad drivers or bad parking. It's people in general that just don't care. They don't care. They don't, you know, my old boss used to say, nobody cares. He had this little whiny voice. That's what he used to talk about. Nobody cares. That's the problem. Like, this person parked in a spot that wasn't even a parking spot. So they didn't even want to drive around and look for a real spot. They just parked in a spot that wasn't even a parking spot. So I couldn't back out to get enough room without hitting their car or hitting the cars next to me. I had to basically wait for somebody that was parked on the side of me to come out so I can whip it on the angle to get out. So people that, you know, these bad drivers and people that just don't care, that's a problem with mankind. I mean, with the human race. People that, you feel me, P-Double? You feel me? Like,
yeah,
some people just
all
don't
around.
Care.
They're all around.
it's just all about them. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I'm not going to hold up the show with any more of that rant and stuff. I'm feeling great today.
Yeah,
feeling in a great mood.
Feeling fresh.
I got my, I'm sipping on my Funky Cold Medina. You know what I mean?
Oh, this wasn't on the agenda for the show, but I got some big news.
All right, well, we got bigger news, folks. This is the Mr. National Podcast. I'm here with P-Double, who you all know, and if you don't know, one of the baddest artists out there, and he happens to play electric football, so.
Right on.
You know, P-Double, what's that website real quick? www.paulpate.com.
Yeah.
And guess who else, who we got on the show today, P-Double?
Oh, man, we got the man, Coach K, Kit from Toe Pro Football, finally on the show. We've been dedicating almost every show to him. Now he's here live in the studio.
Right. Hello, Mr. Kit. How you doing, sir?
Well, hello. The Foth himself, along with Double P.
P-Double.
He's moving on his way up, though. He's going to soon be P-squared. You know, he's going to become exponentially, you know, powerful.
Absolutely. Well, he's got your blessing. He's like your prized disciple. We were talking about another show. You know what I mean? He's one of the 144,000 that's going to ascend up into the heavens of Toe Pro Heaven. You know what I mean? To look down and train all these lesser coaches who are not willing to open their minds to real football.
You know, if you free your mind, you know what to follow.
Exactly. So we brought the man. I mean, I haven't played Toe Pro, okay? I don't know much about it. But what I could always respect about Kit is his passion. That cannot be disputed or denied. So that is the part that blows me away, Coach. Blows me away. The show is yours, well, Kit. Talk to me, baby.
Hey, thank you so much. And I want to say to you, Nat, that truly, Toe Pro Football is the one method of gameplay that I believe will take electric football into the future because it obeys the laws and rules of the game. So that way, if you follow certain basic principles of football, you get football because all of the same things that apply to the game that you watch is the same as it is that you're playing it on the field. It reduces a lot of the debates or discussions with regard to how it is you play the game. And I think that as individuals let loose of what is the old dogma of playing electric football the way that it's been played for 70 years, we will then start to see that if we take into consideration certain things, examine the rules of the game, the law of the game, that then we just live with the consequences that we will have football. What I do find in the 3 years that I've been working with this is that a lot of coaches, when they talk about it, they theorize. And what I would love for them to do is just get another coach and follow the procedures. On the Toe Pro Football Facebook page, I literally created video to show you how to follow the procedures. I don't give you plays or I don't give you strategy because the rule book should never provide that. It should provide you simply with what is the rules.
Right.
You as a coach go out there, create your plays, strategies, schemes, and then realize when you're playing it in the same way in which football is played, and then you'll do what's necessary to, you know, make that happen. It does right. become a very exciting brand of electric football, and I would like to see coaches try it.
Mr. Nashville, he told me, he said, you know, I wrote the rule book. I'm not your defensive coordinator. You figure out the plays.
Right. Right. I mean, that's the problem with EF coaches. They won't take the time. They'll read over and hear something. If they don't like something particular, they're out. You know what I mean? They're closing
well,
it down.
My thing is this is if you don't want to try it, fine. Kid, how come people come on your page and try to refute you when they haven't even tried to play? They try to, like, refute, like, this isn't going to work or something. When you
right. I understand your question, and that's a very good question. I have, you know, because I'm just coming back into the hobby and I'm bringing this to the forefront and discussing with guys, give this some consideration. What I find they do is they bring old dogma or the dogma of the way the game's been played for 70 years to attempt to challenge what it is the rules or the law of football says, and or they wish to put or project their thinking about what should happen into their electric football game. And, you know, I have many coaches who've played it even at tournament level describe Toe Pro Football as solitaire gameplay. I say, no, you can scrimmage with it in solitaire fashion, but the one thing you know that's similar to the way you play it is even if I'm playing it in solitaire fashion, it plays just like what you're playing because the defense knows what you know. You're executing, looking at each other, and knowing what the other one is going to do. And it becomes a game in which my guy try to tackle your guy instead of does my play, is it successful against your scheme? But right. neither one knows what the other one will do once it's time, you know, it's time to execute. And that is the part that is really scary to a coach who's been playing it for so many years where they know what's happening. It's just, is my tweak better or my guy stronger than your guys? Well, maybe they're not, but what if I can outsmart you on a play? You know,
right.
a lot of
right.
plays, a lot
right.
of plays in football and exciting plays in football occur because you didn't know or this happened, and that's the excitement aspect related to it.
You know, when I played on my high school team, we had a small, we had small guys on our team, so we ran a trap offense, and we crushed big dudes, man, because
right.
we were smarter than they were. and we were faster, and we worked harder, and we hit harder. It didn't wasn't because we had strong, you know, like we were just big and huge and powerful.
Bigger, right, right, more athletic than them. Yeah. You executed better.
We executed, exactly, yeah.
Right.
So well, you can do that in, you can, that's why I think TOPRO reflects that. You know, you can use, well, implement that strategy.
I know. We on a short leash of time. I mean, you know, Mr. National Podcast. I mean, you know, we got Kit on here with his Toe Pro. We know. We all electric football people know about it and heard about it. I want to go a little deeper. I want to go behind Toe Pro. I want to meet Kit Kitchen, the man. Like Kit. Like we know you were in Kuwait. Okay, we know you like. What service are you in? You're a military man. What service are you in? And where did you grow up at playing electric football? How about that for two quick questions for Mr. Kidd?
Okay.
What branch are you in?
Well, I'm associated with the Department of the Army, and more succinctly with the Department of Defense here as a contractor. I'm a military retiree. I've served for 20 years and been doing this particular brand of work for about 13 and a half years. I got back, ironically enough, into the game of electric football, and I want to say pleasantly so, by watching the videos that you and the Philly NEFL had.
We're
really
way.
Excited. Yes. Because you guys played it as close to football as you saw it. And
right.
That was the one thing that was very, very exciting to me. It appealed to me.
Kit, far as like as a fan just watching the games, you know what I mean? It looked like football to you, sort of.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So that. So then the light bulb popped in your head. You was like, these guys are close, but... Then that's what I'm saying. Like light bulb popped up. He was like, "But I can do something better." And did that get the wheels turning for you?
Well, it wasn't so much as I could do something better. It was I wanted to offer something better, or offer something different, or give this some consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that there are leagues that play it without a concept of the law of the game, you know. What drove this particular rule set in my observation of watching, you know, electric football games being played, you know, on YouTube and on Facebook, Ustream sometimes by, you know, Mo when he had those games that he was recording.
Mo is absolutely
right.
Brilliant.
Get great guys who are in the hobby and really mean a lot to it. I kind of looked at it from an analytical point of view, observing it, and I said, I remember how I played as a kid, and for me, that was, you know, my early teens and things like that we played it a little bit different. We tried all of the little things that Tudor Games had at the time, and we just found it wasn't quite right until one day my twin brother and I, we were playing, and I'm like, wait a minute, he's always figuring out what I need. I say, let's flip this. And once we flipped it, he didn't know what I was going to do, and I had the ability to now attack.
Right.
So he had to develop a scheme against the play I was playing, and then it played like football. We had such fun that day that we then took it to our uncle, who said, we're changing the rules. This is going to be the way the rules are going to be. You know, and my uncle was a little bit older, and he was killing us, you know, as kids. We were just... Man, how does he always stop my guy, you know?
Right.
I'm drawing up good plays, but he's always stopping me, you know? And once we changed it up, I mean, the whole neighborhood league just lit up because we realized, wait a minute, we now can really diagram plays and schemes out of formations, and the other person didn't know where we were going to attack.
Right.
And so... What I'm supposed to do instinctively as an offense is find the opening and try to get to it. I mean, mm-hmm. that's football. I mean,
that's football. That's my saying right
yeah.
there. That's a Mr. National podcast.
Right.
So, you know, it's the ain't that football break.
I mean, yeah, that's football, you know. So playing toe pro football, understanding, I make a provocative statement. I do provocative things to get people to think about it. If I say to you the offense has the last move, it does not necessarily mean that he moves a piece from one location to another. It means a pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to get to that particular area, unknown to you what the defensive scheme may be that will prohibit it. But the defense doesn't know what you're going to do when you attack. So it's that particular provision that makes toe pro football what it is. And as you then start to work on the defensive side, you then start to look at tendencies, down and distance, responsibility of your players, rather than, you know, a thinking of, okay, I see this guy going that way, that guy going this way, I'm going to send my looper into the backfield.
Right.
And then I'm going to try and stop every eligible receiver that I see. So that's, now you have to think in totality, because the responsibility now is to cover the field. That's the responsibility of the defense. Cover the field and prevent the offensive team from advancing without knowing where they potentially could attack.
God,
nah. Ain't that football.
That's
right?
Football. Now,
that's football.
And I like my electric football to reflect football. You know,
the neighborhood, you talked about the neighborhood league. Where was this neighborhood? We didn't know.
Oh, my hometown is Shreveport, Louisiana. Yeah, the home of Terry Bradshaw. And,
and Brett Favre.
Brett Favre from Mississippi.
Mississippi. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I didn't know that's what this podcast is about. You know what I mean? I did not know the branch of service, and I didn't know where Kit Kitchen grew up at. So the Louisiana League he had in Shreveport.
Excellent. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
What's your new nickname? What's your new nickname for yourself, Kit?
Well, you know what? In my younger days, I referred to myself, or I was referred to as 2 kilos. My initial being KK.
Right.
So they used to call me 2 kilos, and kilo being the phonetic wording for K. So because it was two K's, they called me 2 kilos.
Man, kilo, that's 2 bricks. That's the way I grew up at. That's a drug.
Right. Well, of course, my mom told me, I don't think you want to have that as a, you know.
Man,
I had an email address that was 2 kilos, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And it was like, you sure you want to keep that?
Yeah.
And, we're going to just call him
the toe pro guy. You know what
I mean?
I was
talking to him earlier, and he was excited to talk to the face of the hobby. And he said, let me talk to the face of the hobby. Let him know I'm the face of the rule book.
Yeah.
There you go. The face of, he sure is. I mean, Kit put in work. I mean,
yeah, it'll be a brilliant document.
It'll be good, Kit, when you get back to the States, and then you can make the rounds, and you can actually set up your rule set and say, okay, come on, play me. Let's play defense, or you play offense, and let's see what we got.
Yeah, in fact, Kit, if you could share with us real quick 3 rules, I guess, if you could pick 3 rules, you know, out of the toe pro rule book to really illustrate best what it is, what would they be?
Okay. Let me first touch on just a quick question with regard to the rule book in and of itself. You know, I've been working at this for about 3 years, and what I found is, it went through several name changes, but I think toe pro football really stuck, and what it stood for was...
Give him the letters now.
Right. Now, you got the O. Right, it's the T A
D, not the, it's the.
Right. Well, see, the is for down in Louisiana we say the.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. See, that's another thing.
All right, call him out. Call him out.
Right. Well, we ain't gonna cut him off no more. I'm sorry.
No, go get him. Call him out the letters though, National. What's the
T?
The
O
official
E
electric
P
plain
R
rules
O
of football.
Ain't that football.
So
your voice, dude. Your voice. Do you sing? Do you karaoke? Like your voice is like freaking like Barry White, dude.
Well, thank you very much. Right. What I want to do is describe to you something that really comes to you. I'm here talking with National and Double P.
Yo, did you hear that, dude?
And you're on Mr. National's podcast.
Oh my goodness. I wish I had that voice, man.
Give me that voice. Yeah, stop by the site at www.stackwithnatshow.com.
Dude, hey, Pino, what are you talking about? Dude, is he awesome or what? Is he awesome? That is a voice for radio, okay? That's it. That man is awesome. Yep. And he put in the work. I mean, he just didn't just come out with rules. He did homework. He's been working on for 3 years, okay? That's commitment. That's commitment.
All right.
That's what a lot of people don't know.
So we got a couple minutes left on that. Do you want to give us three rules?
Let's talk about the three quick rules and things that are important in Toe Pro football.
Okay.
First is rule one, which we know pertains to, and I follow the same guidelines as a professional rule book, okay? So where you talk about certain things in football, I relate them the same way. Rule one is the field. Okay. In Toe Pro football, a custom field is no more than 20 inches in width. So this type of field, if you're playing it at the advanced level, this is one of the things that you want to take into consideration. There are a lot of fields that are made out there in the hobby that are not actually to the proper scale of a football field. Okay, and so when you're playing Toe Pro football field, 20 inches in width, a good person who makes fields about that size, although many people can, Steve Toth makes a 20-inch inbound field. It's 20 by 45. And what it equates to is about approximately 1 foot equal 1 inch, and that's the scale. So if you play to a field that's about that size, that's one of the things that's very important, as well as the speed of the players that operate on it. Because, you know, in a regular rule book, there's nothing that concerns the amount of inertia that drives the players. Some people have fields that are turned up very high, and some people have some that are turned down very low. But the thing that's important in rule one, where I placed a certain criteria, is a fast dial base being able to travel in a tight circle. That's the maximum amount of inertia the field has. If that player can stay stood up, then every other piece will be able to stand up. So that sets the criteria.
So like last time Nate Wells and I played, we got a fast guy. I got a fast guy out, set it down in a circle. He got a fast guy out, set it down in a circle. And I ran the field and adjusted the speed until they were both running in circles. And I was like, "You good with that speed right there?" And he's like, "Yep, sounds good."
Right.
And that's how you
because
start
a lot
off.
Of right okay. Because in my examination of a lot of rule books that was in the hobby and National, even yours, the TOCs, everybody's they make an assumption of what field speed should be, and it's done because I did a lot of research and I have a lot of people's rule books, you know, electric football rule books. They lead that to the coaches, and it becomes subjective. When you know a player can go in a circle, then it's objective. That's a metric I can see. So now I know my players can go in. Some are a little faster, a little slower, but all of my players can stay up. So right. then a board that may be considered fast, well, it's only so fast to the point whereby it may move, you know, it may just tip a little bit, but it's not going to fall over, and that board will run much smoother. So that's okay. what I would always recommend. That's the first thing with regard to the wool that I talk about. The second one that I brought to the forefront in electric, in execution-based electric football. And the reason why I say execution-based is because you're responsible to execute the play. Where in multi-stop, you know it happens in phases. Okay?
Yeah.
Rule 8 is one area that that Toe Pro Football really brings to the forefront because I bring ineligible downfield into play.
Right.
Okay. That I created what was called a line play area. Now I understand a base, you know, in on a pass play, a lineman is not supposed to go but 1 yard past the line of scrimmage in football. So when I looked at that particular area, I said it has to be there because you can't have offensive linemen running down the middle of the field. You know, there were some videos of electric football where I saw the linemen further downfield than the receiver that they were going to throw to. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that happens in electric football. Well, the thing that was important to me was to bring that into the game of electric football. So now the offense has to be accountable because the law of the game and the right of the defense to cover the field is what is paramount before I deal with the, you know, the inevitability of a lineman going past a certain area. Now they can't, you know, you can make them where they back up, but I don't want to disclose to you that's the case with my electric football men. So what I did was I created just a little zone, 10 yards on one side, 10 yards on the other side. And the offensive lineman on a pass play cannot be forward of that area. So although it's not 1 yard, such as it is in professional football, it's 10 yards because I understand that the dial on the player is right. going to turn at a certain radius. So that's what Toe Pro Football did. It looked at the rule of football, understood the realities of the electric football player as it's designed today, and then said, we can create this. Let's go with that. Okay. So that's something that's very, very important. And for most guys, we don't even think about it in, you know, electric football because we just assume, okay, my guys can run down the field and blow out the safety, the middle linebacker, and then mm-hmm. I can throw a pass right behind it. Well, that violates the law of the game. You know, in a forward pass play, they're not supposed to be
that far downfield. Right.
All right. Yeah. So that was one of the things that I really wanted to do. And then the last thing I would say, the rule is rule 7. And that is a running play starts generally from the middle of the formations. In Toe Pro Football, because the running back on a run play, the ball starts at the center of the formation. That we know in football. But let's say he hiked it to the quarterback. Well, the ball is still in the center of the formation. Mm-hmm. All of the players running on a run play starts, generally, the ball is in the center of the formation. So what I did was translate that to electric football. And although the offense has the right to pick the hole or the route, in this case, a running play, he has the right to pick the hole he wants to run to. He has to start it from generally the middle of the formation. So that old way of where the running back was over the tackle, and then you pointed at him and said, run. Now, you just simply take the running back that's near the middle of the formation, and it's generally based upon being behind the quarterback, and you pivot him to the hole where you want him to go, or set up the block where you want the key block to be, and then run the play because the runner is already there and he's ready to go. Those are the three rules that I really do think really enhance what is an offensive attacking, but understanding the parameters under which they can attack. That's football. Offense has always had the ability to surprise the defense, but it doesn't have the opportunity to peek at the defensive scheme. You got one shot to look at this. if your player doesn't execute, you're going to be suffering a loss or, you know, a, certainly a potential bad situation.
Right, right.
Okay. So here's let me just quiz both of you guys here, okay, on the rules of the game, and if you were playing Toe Pro Football, what would the ruling be? Here's the scenario. I line my players up. I then pivot a wide receiver, the Z receiver, to go on a slant, and I take the running back and have him go to the flat. My quarterback is sitting approximately 5 yards from the line of scrimmage, not in a shotgun, but certainly not under center.
Right.
I turn the board on. An offensive lineman goes past the line play area. I throw the ball out to the flat behind me to the running back who is there. I pivot him. He runs downfield, goes in for a touchdown. What's the ruling?
Touchdown.
No. The lineman went that past the thing.
Yeah, but it was a lateral. But it was a lateral.
He threw it behind. Yeah, it was a backwards touchdown, right.
That's right. It's a touchdown. Right. And that's something that when you tell a guy, think about the rules of the game. What is the ruling? What is the scenario? And it follows that. But someone could literally have a debate about that particular type of gameplay. Toe Pro Football matches the rules of the game as you understand it. The fact that the lineman went past the line of scrimmage doesn't mean anything unless I threw a forward pass.
Right, that's true.
So now that's where the offense is responsible for the execution of the play. So if, let's say, for example, I have my quarterback drop back 25 yards, okay? He drops back 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He's still in the pocket. I had an offensive lineman go 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. What is the offensive left with? He's only left with two bad choices. He either throws a forward pass and take the ineligible receiver downfield penalty for 10 yards, or he eats the ball where he is, and that's a 25-yard loss. Okay. He has to eat it. And that's leaving the offense responsible for the play they run. You have the element of surprise, but you got to execute. And one play where this occurred with Coach A.J. Johnson, who plays it as well, with his son Eric. He gave me a scenario whereby the offense couldn't do anything, and he was like, well, what are we supposed to do? I said, guy, you're on defense. You won that down. What do you want from me? You know?
next play, the offense will fix his offensive lineman.
Exactly. Yeah. He will fix the situation.
Those are all those rules. I think a lot of people look at it and they're like, so the offense gets the last move. They think, oh, I'm just going to run. They can just run all score all the time. But there's all these rules that make it difficult, you know, make it more difficult on the offense. But you don't notice it unless you play it, unless you try it. Plus, the defense.
Yeah, it's a couple things, like I say, that just turns people off. The defense doesn't get the last move.
Yeah.
You know, no tilt passes. A few things that just some people won't even give it a shot. But like I say, you got to give it a shot. And hopefully we can get Kit back into the States. He can
let him back in.
Yeah, we gotta get him a passport in the electric football tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they'll let him in the electric football tournament.
Oh, he's been blackballed. You know what I mean? Like, that man is crazy. He's a fanatic. He is insane. But look, I like it. I like it. I'm willing to give it a shot. You know what I mean? How you gonna be national and not try everything? You know what I mean, for electric football?
Well, I can certainly guarantee anybody this that plays it against another coach. If you try it with another coach, if you want to tilt your quarterback when you initially start it, you know, go for it. Make those little adjustments until you reach advanced level gameplay. But once you get there, you will never want to go back. You'll be so excited to show everybody. Number one, it's not as hard as it seems. You're obeying the law of the game we don't really know what the outcome of every play is. I have to be thinking all the time. And when you add in time as a factor, now you really got football.
There you go. Well, all right, we got to get on. I mean, we can talk Topro all day.
A couple days.
Hey, with that voice, I can listen to that voice all day. You know what I mean? he could read cooking directions, and I would listen to it. Okay, that's a voice. We're going to move on to the Mr. National podcast. Me and P Double, special guest Kit Kitchen. We're going to move into more electric football, other electric football, because, I mean, Topro is ready to explode on the hobby, on the sport. But for now, we do have TOC, okay? And we got to give a shout-out to Brandon Woodard, who won the first leg of the TOC qualifiers in Kansas City. The next one is in Ohio. P-Double, will you be there? The Buckeye Brawl.
I got some bad news on that front. They changed the date of it. So it happens to be the 10th anniversary of my wedding to my beautiful wife. So if I went to the electric football tournament on my 10th wedding anniversary, that would be my last wedding anniversary.
We don't want that to happen. No. Well, I mean, I've been to the Buckeye Brawl. John Martin runs that.
Man, I'm so bummed to miss it because it's a time.
I think I'm going to miss it too. What? I saw it came up that same date. Yeah, Mr. National. Man. The 4th will not be there. Okay.
Oh, man.
I think the games, and I want to get Kit Kitchen's opinion on these guys, the Gridiron Buzz Network, I'm hearing they will be there, Dustin and Roger Fisher. The way they bring – now, Kit, it might not be real football, ain't that football, that they're showing. Okay, they're showing TOC. But the brand in which the quality that they bring it, Kit, what do you think of that Gridiron Buzz, dude? Is it awesome?
Hey, Raj and my man, they're really doing an outstanding job. I do like their, you know, the way they work with each other and present the hobby and some of the things they do. And ironically enough, in some of my conversation with him, he and I both use the same software. So in the way in which I present the hobby here, with video and cameras and things of that nature, he does the same thing. So we're really on the same level with regard to that. So some of the things I see that he does, I then go look at my equipment and then, you know, put that together. So we use literally the same software. It's called Wirecast that we use, and not to really throw out a plug with that, but that streaming software that allows you to get all of those angles and video and stuff like that. And he brings his audio into his devices. So most people have seen my setup. It's primarily along that same line. I'm more below the headline. Yes. He's above the headline. And it, man, it looks so good. And it really does give our hobby, electric football, that next level in streaming or broadcasting, if you will, of it. You don't need all those big heavy guys with cameras. You know, it becomes a distraction. And I wanted to try and set it up whereby it's as little distraction to the game that's being played. So Raj and them are doing a great job. I really, really enjoy seeing it when those guys come on.
Kit mentioned that, you know, he watched the Philly NFL broadcast. A lot of times those broadcasts is, you know, myself, Mr. National, you know what I mean, putting it on his little cell phone break. I like to – I don't see Gridiron Buzz do it, you know, enough. I would like to see more shots of the coaches. I don't know if they could bring, like, it's always just the men and the hands. When I know when I'm broadcasting, when a big play happens, I kind of, like, pan up. Because I want people to see the reaction of the actual coach.
Yeah, that's
a good point. Sometimes that's funny, too.
Right.
And entertainment. So,
and you know what? That is important. That is important. And that was one of the things that really drew me to watching you guys' league when I first got inspired to come back into the hobby. It's not just the game that also has its excitement. It's the personalities.
Yes.
It's watching you guys as brothers, you know, just get into a good old spat about, you know, the procedures and things like that. And then y'all busting on each other, you know, and it's love all the way around. You got Jamie there that's working with, you know, guys to produce bases. And you got a man who's also Steve Toff creating things. You know, everybody's putting in a contribution. Yeah, Kenny King with those figures. I mean, it's just a conglomeration of guys who fundamentally love the game of electric football that brought me back to it, man. And I'm telling you, man, when you get on that camera and y'all just, you know, you go for what you know. The lighting ain't the best, but you give it to us, you know. And,
I know.
And,
that's,
you
know,
and it's like,
I'm embarrassed.
That's a Stack with Nat show. That's what it is.
Yeah, man.
That's a Stack with Nat show.
It's embarrassing. I mean, I'm a little embarrassed. Like, our video, our graphics isn't
on
par with some of the other stuff that's out there. But, I mean, you know, we got our drinks going, and we just going to say, and I told Stan, I'm like, we just going to just talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just
and like you can find it at the StackWithNatShow.com.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's hey, that, W-I-T, not W-I-T-H.
Kit probably remembers the one live, I think we did a Facebook live when we broadcast the teams in the playoffs a couple years ago. And
yes.
Me and Stack went at it. Because I know Kit remembers it. It was one of the most watched, the most debated viewed broadcasts ever, P-Double, because it was a guy, Hugh Moore, with the Cardinals, who kind of like tried to backdoor himself into the playoffs. He didn't play enough games. He was relying on forfeits. And in our league, forfeits do not get you into the playoffs.
Right.
And me and Stack on live TV. I think
right. In a restaurant. Right.
Yes.
In a restaurant. Going, I never will forget it. Because, you know, one of the things that I did in Toe Pro Football, too, was I took the scenarios that were happening out there in the hobby. And explain how Toe Pro Football makes it easier to deal with. Well, their situation was so, as a fan of the game, I'm watching them just absolutely go back and forth with each other. I said, this deserves an article. So I would write articles on what I saw. And guys would look at my articles and then they would then chime in more where they wouldn't even comment on what they saw visually. Now they're, you know, deflecting their, you know, their fire toward me because I'm, you know, either agreeing with this position or I'm not agreeing with that position.
Right.
And in that particular instance, oh, man,
dude,
they
Kit,
were just.
Kit actually said, Kit was actually like, well, the 49ers, my team actually got in the playoffs, which you had beat the last, you know, near the end of the season. And they thought that was
and I think sense. I think they tried to also take in a game. They tried to take in a game that from a team that forfeited early in the season off of you, and they didn't even get a chance to play him.
Play
so
exactly.
They,
right. That was
and
it.
Then,
right.
I say, but so, then I said, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Then Hugh and the other guy who was in the division literally cross forfeited. Two games within the division, right? And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Kit said, well, the Seahawks and the Cardinals should be, Kit basically said the 49ers.
If y'all colluded,
win the division. That's what he said. The 49ers should win the division, and the Seahawks be the wild card, and the Cardinals is out. I had A.J. chime in, A.J. Johnson, Jim Davis. I mean, everybody went through our schedule, our website, looked at all the games played and not played. They were like, well, National did it right. It's the right call to make. And that is the you know, people want to say, how do you do it? How can you? Because it's not about me getting in or winning. It's about the whole thing being good. And quality, right?
So
even though I got in, it wasn't because I'm trying to put myself in. It was the right thing to do.
Oh,
right.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
Right.
Wow.
And what I chimed in on Double P, what I chimed in was, as a commissioner, and that's one of the things I take away from all of the commissioners that are out there, it's very important to maintain the integrity of your league. Whatever those bylines are, there are always coaches looking to try and skirt or get around or figure out how to make their way through the maze of a regular season. Yes. But that commissioner, whoever it is, yeah, they're going to always, quote unquote, be the bad guy. But you have to follow it because you have to protect your league. So whatever those league rules are, hey, you stand by those things.
PW, you got to see that. I can't find it, but it was.
I think I remember that. Yeah, I was watching back then.
Me and Smokestack had fumes going out of our head because I couldn't believe he would take the side with the other guy. And I'm like, dude, if you did that, if you allow that guy to get in our playoffs the way he like swindled his way, you know, duck games, hit under dead bodies, then you would open a Pandora's box of everybody doing it. The whole league, the whole regular season would be for nothing.
Right.
It's all
right.
built around the regular season.
One of the things Kid always talks about is you need a commissioner. And I think you need to, you know, and you, what are your rules for electric football leagues, national? Like, write it down. You don't pay, you don't play. You know, you got to pay up before you play. You got to have a schedule.
I always say, there's no romance without finance. Okay? So if you love electric football, you got to pay. You know what I mean?
You got to pay.
Okay? If somebody gave me the trophies, okay, if somebody gave me the conference room and somebody gave us all the food that we had for our Super Bowl, then it would be no charge, okay? It would be free. But we don't. We have to pay for the trophies, which goes up every year. We have to pay for the Essington Extravaganza, which the conference room, we have to pay for that. And we definitely have to pay for the food we eat.
Yeah.
And then the other expenses that come up, you know, cords, lights, what, et cetera, that come up during the league. I do not like to be called a commissioner because I think a commissioner should be paid, and I don't really want that title. I just kind of see myself as the organizer of the league.
Well, you call it league director or something, but
something like that.
You got to have somebody.
We have a committee. We have a committee. We have a committee. We have division captains. But sometimes, I mean, it's certain issues that sometimes going to come up. And that
our,
one
our league doesn't
moment,
have that. We have a group text.
No, we have a lot of stuff going on. And like I say, a lot of leagues that just start up, like the EC with Brian Phillips, you know, they try to, chime in. He might chime in. Why you do that? But you have to understand, Philly NFL has been around for 22 years. There is not too many things that we have not seen or come across. And certain things have to be dealt with a strong hand. You know what I mean? I'm serious. P-double. I mean, like Kit said, you have to be the bad guy. I got to tell people, no, that's not the way. And I tell you what, a lot of people, more than not, respect it. Because we have people that want to play with us.
Right.
I mean, who would want to come play, travel, pay tolls and gas to play with a group of guys that the guy that has the most say, so to speak, is always manipulating so he can win or be in the best position?
Right.
I have never won this league. You okay? I made the Super Bowl last year by the luck of the draw, but I am never going to throw authority around to get a win or anything like that. And I think, you know, all the accolades I get or whatever, I mean, it's really nothing. But I just, the thing I hang my hat on is that I'm fair and I'm not a cheater, okay? So when you're playing me, we're going to play by the rules and we're going to play fast. So that's what I want to be remembered by and thought of. You know what I mean, Kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, in Topro football, just like football, Rule 17 covers the commissioner.
Wow.
Most folks don't know that.
The Rule commissioner.
Rule 17 covers the authority. Rule 15 covers the officials.
Look, I don't know if you saw it national the other day, but the Hulk posted about something about a game happened with this and that, and this happened, and he's pissed. He doesn't want to, you know, he's done being nice because this somebody was playing.
Oh, yeah.
So I put on there, I just commented, you know that wouldn't happen if you played toe pro football.
Hey, I love Jim Davis. I mean, yeah. I think his game at the Twister, he didn't like the way something was happening.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if Hulk is listening, we had a game where I thought his guy got tackled or he missed the pass, and he told me that I swear to you, I did. I hit him. And I was like, oh, well, shit. Since he had sweared, it's got to be the truth. So, I mean, get out of here.
He's great, man. That championship game, him and Frank Jacobs. So Frank's guy, so Jim tackled him. His guy tackled him at the 2-yard line, but then he didn't turn the board off until the man was in the end zone. So Frank's like,
oh, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, he's like, a touchdown. He got the extra point or the 2-point conversion. And Jim's like, no, he didn't. I tackled him at the 2-yard line. They started screaming and yelling at each other. And it was hilarious. They were just two grown men going bananas. And then Jim said, yeah, you're right. Good game.
Well, he doubled. And Toe Pro, if that same scenario.
Yeah, you got to turn the board off. No, you got to turn the board off.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
it's really, touchdown.
Really,
it's
in the
touchdown.
NFL, the offense has to switch. That ball would have been brought back to the two-yard line.
The offense has to switch?
The offense has to switch in Philly, in the NFL. Yes, sir.
Really? Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. A little different. Yep. And we also turn forward passes across the line of scrimmage. We actually turn any four players, defenders, whether they're being blocked or not, you get to turn them. Long as they're not advancing on the ball carrier, you can turn.
Yeah, that changes
a little bit
the
different.
Game.
Any other news going on in the EF world that anybody want to talk about?
There's a new rule set or that may be coming out that Steve Toft, you know, one of your league mates there is coming out with something that I think next week he's going to be showing something on that.
Yes.
Yeah, dynamic strategy.
Kit, that's a great point, brother. He actually contacted me, and he wants to come out to Philly. Steve Lee actually lives in Allentown. He's going to drive about an hour and 20-minute drive. He's going to do a special Stack with Nat show broadcast right from Daly's Pub. So,
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an episode of Game of Thrones, man. You got to wait 10 years for the next episode
right,
to come out.
To get Dude, I hear Kit talk about, you know, he was inspired by the Stat Winnet show and by our videos, okay? That's one.
Not only that, but your rule book as well. See, I have a copy of it.
Okay, so we got that. Then, P-Double, I get Gridiron Buzz Network, Dustin Fisher, the son, tell me he was inspired by, I gave him the iPad to film one of the TOC championship games.
Yep.
He said that started him to thinking, and how can I get paid from this, PW? You are doing all these people are doing great things. Let me finish. All these people are doing great things. Kit, whether you like him or don't, or like his rule set, the whole thing is great. I mean, it's a rule set, okay? It's great. It's work. You take Gridiron Buzz, what they're doing. And then you go dig down in the soil and root it was my seed. That's my seed. How can I be paid? How? I want my walk-in closet. I want my house.
I'm a little shout out on paying royalties.
Shout outs ain't paying my bills. I walk in closet when the door open and light come on in the closet. That's what I want when something's going on in Philly and the coach is like a little short on funds, we're like, oh, I would love to come. I'm gonna say, you know what? Come on over to my house because I got a whole room that you can stay in with his own bathroom. I ain't even got to
got a bidet by the toilet.
I ain't even got to see his ass until it's time to go. You know what I mean?
You are certainly contributing to the growth and wealth of a lot of people. You want your cut. You're looking for your cut.
Hey, I love it. I mean, electric football has opened up the world to me, kid. I mean, you being in the service as well as Roger Fisher, they were in the service, Chris Stacy, a lot of these guys travel the world, okay? I didn't start traveling until I got back into electric football in like 99, 2000. So, I mean, I owe a lot to the game. You know, they
then it started raining.
Yeah. It did the same thing for me as well, because it allowed me to be analytical as a teenager and understand how is it put together? What are the rules and foundations of the game that when I'm trying to emulate it as best as possible, what are the strategies, all of these type of things. And you see even coaches who are in the NFL, how they refer back to electric football when they were a kid, you know.
I would like to make a point too about that. A lot of us that play the game now are older, you know. And one thing about toe pro football is if you play toe pro football, when a kid comes up and watches the game, it's going to look like football. So then they can immediately relate to it. Whereas if you're playing a form of electric football where you're just jamming everybody up on the line or whatever, then it's not as relatable. And so that's important, is to draw in the young kids to be able to look at football, because they're interested in the strategies and the techniques that you would use as a coach in real football. They want to see that on the electric football field. And so they're going to be drawn right into that if you play toe pro football. Or, you know,
any kind of football, because I tell you what, I don't know if Kit sees it out where he's at station. Or pedo. I have a brother that coaches little league football, but parents are kind of keeping their kids out of real football. It's not as big as it used to be. So I don't know, you know, kids that might want to play real football, get into electric football. We got AJ out there with his son Eric, who's a phenomenal football player, but also loves the game of electric football. And I think Eric is only 13 years old. So that, I don't care if it's toe pro. I don't care if it's TOC.
What about Billy C's kid?
Elijah, right. I mean, those are the guys we need to keep tabs on and get them and their friends into the game. Because we're getting, like P. Double said, we're getting older, and basically all we can supply is knowledge. But the beautiful thing of our sport, our hobby, our game, whatever you want to call it, there is no retirement age, okay? As long as you can stand there by that board, and some coaches, Jim Davis, one of the greatest EF coaches of all time,
no doubt,
as well as Keith Chalmers, they sit down and play, okay?
And they whip your ass.
And whip your ass sitting down. I want to see them play toe pro sitting down. That's what I want to see. I cannot wait to get Kit Kitchen making the rounds of the tournament circuit, the leagues, the Super Bowls, the tournament championships, and just getting a section of time to display his rule set. And that's going to bring Mr. National, the Fall, some joy right there. Because I can't wait to shake that man's hand.
Yeah, I look forward to doing that, and that is something that I will commit to doing once I come home. Until that time frame comes, do watch the videos for procedures. Try it out with a friend of yours. And Eric Johnson, he actually made a comment with regard to that when his dad inquired about the different rule sets that he plays, because he's played under several different rule sets. He's tried, you know, the various ones. And the one he speaks about that he loves is toe pro football. He loves it.
I played against him in a toe pro game.
Dude, that's
about a year ago. Yeah, he whipped my butt.
Yeah. and he understood it. He said, "This is like football." He said, I can relate to this.
There you go.
Strategy, everything. He related to it. He knows because it understands those four things about football that are true no matter what you do. And it's the one thing that distinguishes it from other rule sets. It's four things that you know that are true in the game of electric football before the snap or kick of a ball. Okay? And those four things are, first, both teams are onside. The offense is in a legal formation. The defense schemes based on that formation. And the offense knows how and where it wants to attack. Put it together in that order, and you got football. Because those are the four same things that are true. You got football.
Do you sound the same way in person as you do on the studio mic?
No.
No, we're gonna meet him. He's gonna sound like Mike Tyson. I'm like, what? Yo, hey, Kit. Before this Mr. National podcast brought to you by my man P Double. We got to cut this podcast has been great. We're gonna cut it short real soon. Baseball is October, okay?
You know what that
next
means.
Football games, the guys are gonna be in their pink, you know, for breast cancer awareness. Want to give a shout out to all the people, all the survivors, and all the people that maybe even lost somebody to breast cancer. Wear that pink and wear it proud, okay? Baseball, Mr. October. Kit, do you have a prediction of who's going to win the World Series this year?
Yes, I have. I really do have Houston getting back in the mix. Uh-huh. I'm a Boston fan myself, but I really do think that the Houston Astros, they're going to really step up and take this thing again.
Well, I'm going to go. I think the American League team is going to win it. I think whether it's the Sox, the Yankees, or the Astros. So I really don't have a choice. I'm a Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals fan and a Phillies fan. But I don't have a horse in the race this year. I just think the American League is going to win it. Before we shut it down, P-Double, do you have a World Series prediction?
I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
Ooh, you finally think Kershaw is going to get it together.
They're looking solid right now. So that's
their staff is looking real good this year.
Yes, they do.
They really are. They really have started to maintain the staff.
Right. It's like not how you, you know, it's how you end the season that counts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. And if you gel at the right time. And so, yeah, and their rotation is
Well, guys, solid. I think it's a wrap. AP Double. I mean, you the producer. I mean,
oh, we gotta dedicate. I told Kit we'd dedicate 1 minute to Kavanaugh.
Oh,
do you know what Kavanaugh is, Mr. National? What we refer to?
Well, no,
there's one thing you gotta know about Mr. National. He does not watch the news. He does right. not. He's. I'm so jealous of him.
I do not watch the news or any TV, Kit. For all my listeners out there, Mr. Nash, I do not watch any TV unless it is sports or movie. So I'm just going to listen. That's why Kit, the Stack with Nash show is so great because. What I lack in, Stack picks up for me.
Right, and, y'all are yin and yang. Yeah, right. Y'all are actually yin and yang.
He is Wall Street Journal. He is all up in the world news. I know if you watched any of the Stack with Nat show, I start off with the round the world in sports, and then I turn it over to Stack. I say, Stack, what's going on in the world? People want to know. And then Stack could go in. So if Kit is on the Mr. National show, he wants to talk about Kavanaugh. Let's have it.
Let me just say that I may be one of his disciples when it comes to toe pro football, but that's about where it ends right there. Yeah. All I'm going to say is Kit and I do not agree about this. Not one bit. Not one bit.
Your political views are
I'll frame it up. I'll frame it up. Brett Kavanaugh is a district judge, and he's nominated by President Trump to be the next U.S. Supreme Court judge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Senate has to confirm him. Well,
yes.
They're about getting ready to confirm him, and then some woman accuses him of sexual assault when they were in high school. How many years ago was it, Kit? 35 years ago? 36. 36 That's years crazy. Ago, okay. She says that he did this stuff, basically sexually assaulted her.
Right.
So now, in the confirmation hearings in the Senate Judiciary Committee, they have to go over this woman. She basically testified. She came on there and said he did this stuff, and his response was, I didn't do this stuff. So,
of course.
So, Kit, I'm going to give you, I didn't give you my opinion or anything. I just said that's what happened. So,
okay.
Kit,
the opinion of Kit Kenshin, simply put, was me. Just like my man say, wasn't me. Oh, no, you went to the same high school I did. I know you went to the, and then you went to the parties, and you had, wasn't me.
It wasn't me, Shaggy. That's Shaggy, wasn't me.
Yeah.
That's, that came from Eddie Murphy Raw, wasn't it?
Yeah. He got it from Eddie.
Oh, well, it was a song. It was a song, Shaggy, wasn't me. Yeah,
right. Well, it was Eddie Murphy was the original one when you caught him right in bed. Yeah. Came out of the room with
seen
his,
you. You went to the same school with me. I seen you. Wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Well, that's not how he responded, Kit. That's not how he responded.
No, he responded the same way we would respond. See? Oh, hell no. Y'all tried to set me up. That was,
right.
Now, if it would have been me in front of that Senate, they'd have just had to straight take me out because I'd have been like, bitch, you lying.
If he did it, it's the same thing P. Double would tell you, I said, with Bill Cosby. I mean, I hate to see Bill Cosby go down, but if he did it, you got to do the time. But the timing. Now, this man is about to get elected to a high-ranking position. Why do these people come out? I remember
I can tell you why. She never wanted to come. She never wanted to come out. She didn't want to bring this out at all, ever. But the dude's about to be nominated to the Supreme Court, so she writes a letter to her senator and gives it to her senator and says, give this to the president so he doesn't nominate him. Well, what does that dickhead do? He nominates him anyway because that's what he does. That's how he do. And so it comes down to it. She still doesn't want to testify. She doesn't want to talk about it. This is how these people act.
I mean,
they move forward anyway. So she says, okay, I'll do my thing.
What's the black guy, Kit, that came? Something
Clarence
happened
Thomas.
With,
now, Clarence Thomas, when he got accused, he was cool as a cucumber. He said it wasn't me. And you know what?
Yeah,
he got nominated.
Same thing. That was
he's a bum
thing.
Anyway.
right when he was about to get the position is when they come out. I just don't like the timing of this stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just don't like the timing.
And my thing is about situations like that, notwithstanding my belief, and in my case, my total lack of belief of her entire testimony. I don't think it's appropriate. You know, sometimes understanding, and that's where I think some women should also feel empowered. You know, knowing that sometimes you let a person get away with something is just as important as you filing the complaint. Certainly the sooner you do it, the better. And that, if I could inspire any woman who may listen to this that knows of a situation like that, get it into the hands of law enforcement. Get the evidence necessary to deal with that individual. Don't come with a story, you know, 3.5 decades after the fact.
Hey, kid, that person can do that. The environment now is changing to where that's more.
No. Hold on. No. She's just seeing him about to get a position. He wasn't bagging groceries at Walmart. And then he was in position.
He was at the second highest court.
So she didn't feel that he wasn't worthy of those other positions. She could have maybe came out sooner to say something. She gonna wait till another position? It wasn't like he was, you know, on the Mr. National podcast and then Trump say, "Oh shit, I'm gonna nominate him for a judge." And then she said, "Oh no, he ain't worthy of that." The dude was already in the system. So I don't know if he did it or not. I'm not gonna go here and act like I do know. I'm just concerned about the timing. The timing is bad. It looks bad, it looks wrong. But if he did it, then you know what I mean, then hopefully karma or whatever happens, happens. I just do not like the timing, okay? That's the part I don't like.
Well, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I still love you, buddy.
Hey, brother. And you know I love you, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's horrible. That's horrible that he would do that. I mean, but right. Back in high school.
But you know what?
Back in high school.
Yeah. Well, thank God that back in high school, all I was doing was playing electric football, and I was very nice to ladies. So play electric football, and you won't ever get accused of anything like that.
When you go into a position that high and that powerful, they are going to comb your history with a fine tooth comb.
Yeah.
And they won't find nothing on Mr. Jack.
Kit, he was playing electric football and he was real nice to girls when he hung out with them.
Mr. Jackson didn't even go out with girls because his mom wasn't allowing it. When I was in high school, I didn't even go on my prom, okay? Yeah. So they won't find nothing on me, okay? Mr. National is doing all his stuff now.
Making up for lost time, huh?
I'm making up for lost time, okay?
They're gonna find all the bad in the stack
with that show right there.
Wait a minute. My stuff's gonna be recent.
You're gonna give me recent activity. No, we ain't trying to worry about it back then.
What he did just yesterday.
Yes. You can put a halo around my head through high school. Through high school, it was nothing. Gail Johnson was not having it. Okay?
Yeah.
You went to school, you came straight home. Mom, can I play on this team? No. You come home.
My mom was a cop.
My mom was worse than a cop. Okay?
Yeah. My mom dropped me off in the police car at the school.
That would have been better. Then you wouldn't have got picked on. You're like, man, his mom a cop.
I couldn't get no girls, man.
I wasn't even thinking about girls. You know what I mean? Growing up, I liked animals. I had spiders and snakes and frogs. That's what I did. When I graduate, here's something, I'm gonna let it go. We're gonna end the show. On my 12th grade graduation, my brother gave me, he wrapped them up. There was his little wrestling men, the Road Warriors. They were the Road Warriors. They had, Ric Flair. They had all the NWA. They were little dolls. During my years of high school, after I did my homework, I played the wrestling men with my little brother. So I was like, you know what I mean? I was a high school senior, but I was basically might as well have been in middle school because that was my life, okay? Because it wasn't no going out, this girl's going to come over. My mom wasn't having that, okay? So that wasn't happening. If they combed me and went through my history, Mr. National, nothing.
Zilch. I'd put you on the Supreme Court then. I'd nominate you right now.
All my bad is being streamed on YouTube and the Facebook. That is my that is it. I didn't start living until I got into electric football. The cigars, the drinking. Okay? Before that, I didn't drink. Before that, I didn't smoke. Before electric football, I had never been on an airplane. Okay?
Wow.
So when you say Mr. National is electric, he is the face, it's true. It's real. You can Google it.
It's in the Geneva Convention.
Google Corey Johnson electric football, and boom. Pictures, articles come up. Okay?
Yeah. That's the Foth.
It's real. It's real. It's not like Sasquatch or the aliens. It's real. This dude travels. This dude does that all from electric football.
And inspire many around the nation to take the game of electric football to a higher level. And I greatly appreciate you for it. I am so honored to be able to speak to you and talk to you about just electric football and things in general. I've watched you guys for years there in the Philly NFL, and really can't wait, you know, Lord willing, to get there to see you guys and watch y'all play and enjoy the game the way I hope everybody who even listens to this podcast does. P-Double, he and I met, you know, just a little while ago, but he is certainly a disciple, and I thank him as well for his advocacy for Toe Pro Football. And to any coach out there that really wants to play electric football according to the laws and the rules of the game, thank you all so much for trying it. Stop by the Facebook Toe Pro page. I'm also on the Center Electric Football, as well as various groups that, you know, allow me the privilege of posting my rules and things of that nature there. I greatly appreciate all of you for it, and thanks.
Thanks for coming on. I'm not saying nothing else. Show 13, we are a teenager. Not a better guest we could have had to bring in our 13th. Welcome to our teenage years of the Mr. National Podcast. P-Double, we out of here, dude.
Peace.
Peace.